You have a 12% survival rate if you have a like this type of a heart attack outside of the hospital. Yeah, through exercise, you'll get collateral circulation. Because this blockage was growing over time, my heart was running adequate enough with the collateral circulation, but as it got up to the 90%, like it couldn't divert blood.
Hey, and welcome back to the next episode of the Trail Running Women Podcast. We have a bit of a different episode today. We're speaking with Reed Taylor, who is not a trail runner nor a woman, but his story is so good that I needed to share it. So he actually works with my husband as a fireman, and he started a fundraiser in his gear, which is about 45 pounds. We get into depth on what that actually means in the episode 4 years ago. And since that time, he has raised almost $60,000 for primarily children's hospital and for awareness on heart issues. And the story really becomes full circle towards the end because we get into his own personal heart issue. So the whole story is pretty inspiring, pretty amazing. His actual ability to run the marathon is what blew me away the most because I know how much work it takes to get that base and then to do it with that much weight on your body. And he didn't give himself very much time, but I think that just shows you what an athlete he actually was growing up with different sports and various fitness programs that he has kind of done his whole life. So he's also just a lot of fun. This was a great interview. So I guess thanks to my husband, Andy, for recommending him. And in the show notes, I have links to where you can donate. So most of those, because he ran another marathon in March, will be closed now. But two things that we wanted to come from this was that either you guys can donate to Children's Hospital directly, so I'll link that in there as well. Or if you're listening, to be inspired to start a fundraising activity yourself. Ideally, you're a fireman and this kind of spreads throughout fire departments, and it can just be the 40-yard dash in your gear. So if anybody gets the itch to do something to give back after listening to this, then that would be awesome. You should let me know. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. Here is Reed. I have a bit of a different guest today, actually. Someone who was recommended to me by my husband, who is a fellow firefighter and is gearing up to run his second marathon in turnout gear, which I'll have you explain how drastic that actually is in a minute here, to help raise awareness for a heart condition. So I'm so thankful that you're here to share your story. Welcome to the show, Reed.
Thank you for having me, Hillary. I appreciate your time.
Yeah. So as we chatted a bit just via email, let's get kind of an intro on you and how long you've been a firefighter for and if you played any sports as a kid.
Yeah, definitely. Name's Reed Taylor. I live in the valley of British Columbia in a city called Mission, and I work for Delta Fire Department. I've been there since 2010, so we're going on 14 years, I guess. Athletic background growing up, wasn't running. Like the longest I've run previous to all this was your standard 6-lap run in, you know, like the high school fitness tests. That's not something I ever really did or enjoyed, to tell you the truth. My athletic background was kind of the exact opposite of long distance running. It was mainly football, which is, 4 to 5 second outputs of energy and then resting and then doing that over and over and over again throughout the game. So that's my athletic background. So football translated over into, as far as exercising goes, like lifting weights. So like a lot of plyometrics, a lot of back squats and power cleans and heavy weightlifting. And then when I got on the Delta Fire Department after I finished playing junior football in British Columbia, we have something called our firefighter combat team. So I was super, super fortunate to be on the job with a lot of fit people like your husband. And there's a lot of athletic people in Delta Fire Department. And on the combat team, there's a couple really fit guys in Jamie McGarva and Ryan Rickards and Mark Millward. So together we were able to train for 4 years and we were always like doing really well in nationals and worlds and stuff, but we could never quite get over the hump. And then fortunately in 2013, we had a really good year and we won Worlds in Las Vegas, top combat team. So yeah, that was really great, and it involved a lot of work. But like I said, it's kind of the same type of training I did for football, like a lot of heavy weights and a lot of sprinting and that short burst energy, like we're talking a minute and 20 seconds or so. So everything I've done with this charity, this fundraiser, it's been the exact opposite of what I've been kind of doing my whole life. So it's been a big learning curve.
Yeah, totally. I mean, first of all, congrats. I didn't realize you guys had won back then, which, yeah, that's amazing. And you're exactly right. I mean, you're going from using sugars and glycogen in your muscles to utilizing oxygen for long periods of time, and that's a completely different system you have to train your body in.
Yeah, it was a whole other animal. And then also just like the time it needs too, like the commitment level has been a lot. Like we have well, I started the fundraiser when we had our first child in 2016, but I didn't start doing the marathons until 3 years ago. So now we have three kids. We have two boys and a girl, and then I coach both the boys in their sports. So like between like working at Delta Fire and then raising three kids and coaching them in their two sports, like it's challenging to get time, but you have to make time to get out on the road and just put the kilometers in.
Yeah, totally. That's one thing people find, like you can't rush an endurance build for sure. It just takes time. But I want to get into all of those details because they're very interesting. But before we do, let's get an outline of what the fundraiser is and what it was initially that got you doing this.
Yeah, so growing up playing football, I was obviously a big fan of the game. So I followed the NFL a lot. And there's a guy on NFL Network named Rich Eisen. He's kind of like the Ron McClain, you could say, of the NFL world, I guess. He's kind of a host for a lot of things. And one thing he does is, how old is Rich? He's probably in his 50s now, but he runs. Like a big test in the NFL is like the 40-yard dash. Like that's kind of what they do at the combine. That's how they gauge your speed, is how fast you can move 40 yards. So he does a fundraiser for St. Jude Children's Hospital, which is in Tennessee. He runs the 40-yard dash in his work clothes, which is just like your standard suit and tie. And he's been doing this for probably 15 years or so. And I was like, oh, that's like pretty cool. Like, I wonder if I always thought to myself that was pretty cool. And so I wonder if I did that in like fire gear one year, if it would catch any traction. And I had been thinking about that for a couple of years. And then we had our first son. We had Carter in 2016. And then the following year, that's when I did the first run. And I just threw up a quick little GoFundMe page. Didn't know how to really do anything or what type of traction where it would catch on. And we got 3 grand the first year just through monetary donations. And I ran the 40-yard dash at Hall One in Ladner, and it went pretty good. So I was like, okay, well, I'll try again the next year. And then we doubled it. We got $7,000, and I did the 40-yard dash again, and it was good. And it's been going on year and year and year. So we got, like I said, 3,000, and then 7,000, and then 10,000, and then 15,000. And then after the year when we did the $15,000 mark, we had our third child. We had a girl named Blakely, and when she was born, she was born in Abbotsford, and when she had a little bit of a heart condition, so she had to stay in the NICU for it was 10 days, or it was 2 weeks, sorry, it was 2 weeks, and then she got transferred to BC Children's Hospital for final tests by their doctors, and we're super fortunate. Everything turned out great. It was just kind of like we didn't really know what was going on for the first couple of weeks, so it's very challenging, as I'm sure you can understand as a parent. So after that happened, I was like, all right, well, I feel like the 40-yard dash is kind of like running out of steam, and like it doesn't really like I don't know, like I need to do something different to kind of make more money than we did last year type thing. So Honestly, I didn't even know how long a marathon was. So I was like, okay, so I'm gonna maybe instead of running 40 yards, I'll just do like 40 kilometers. So I'll just run 40 kilometers in my gear. I'm like, okay, great. So I start planning for that. And I can't remember who said it when I ran it by them. They're like, oh man, you should just do a marathon. And I was like, well, like, how long is a marathon? They're like, oh, it's like 42.2. And I was like, all right, well, throw another 2.2 kilometers on there. Done. I'll do a marathon. So that's kind of how that started. And so when we did that, that was the most successful year we had. That was $25,000.
Wow.
And so if you raise it all up, I think we're just over $60,000 now.
Has it always been for Children's Hospital that you're raising money for?
So the first year, out of respect to like Rich, and it's kind of took his idea, like kind of piggybacked on his idea. The first money we raised, the $3,000, that went to St. Jude Children's. And then after that, like we were able to like contact him on social media, and we're like, hey, like, we kind of just did this out of respect to you, but like, are you cool if like we just do this local? And you know, like, 'cause it's your idea, I don't want to like, you know, step on any toes or whatever. And he's like, yeah, like, of course, make it local and hopefully other firefighters join you. So yeah, the first year was just to St. Jude's, but every other year we've done has been BC Children's.
So before we get into your training for this marathon, which I'm sure was wild, tell everybody what your gear actually entails in case they don't know.
Yeah, it's like an interview question right now. I have to try to remember all this stuff. So like standard firefighter turnout gear, like there's two layers to it, outside shell and then the inside like thermal layer and helmet. So I don't wear boots. That's the only thing. I don't wear boots. I just wear standard running shoes. I don't know if that's cheating or not, but I'm open to telling people that I don't wear boots. And then the SCBA pack as well.
Oh, wow.
And I don't go on air as well. So like I'm not breathing out of the bottle. I'm just breathing, you know, like normal atmosphere air. So it's altogether it's about 45 pounds. And yeah, it's just a all my training, like I don't wear any weight when I train because I'm just a big believer in showing up to the start line of a race in the best condition you can be, but also the healthiest you can be. So on the day of, it's just new to my body to have the 45, 50 pounds, but that's not something I want to do in training is wear like a weighted vest or anything like that. I just want to show up to the start line healthy and fit. And I worried that if I were to wear weight during any of my training, that could wreck my plan.
Yeah, no, that tracks when you're doing something this drastic, because even for somebody for their first marathon training, you never run the full distance for the same reason. There's just no point in
Right.
breaking your body down to that degree. You find out that a marathon is 42.2, and you're like, yeah, sure. That how bad could that possibly be? Do you last year was the first year that you completed the distance. So if you can remember, how much time did you give yourself to train for this, and how did you kind of go about starting to build that base?
So I didn't know how to train for a marathon. And like you said, I like you don't run the distance in your training program. So I started the run was in February, and I might not have given myself enough time, but I started running in December. And then so it's actually a really good time to run in December, I find. And like unless it's like snowing, but like we have pretty mild winters, right? And a lot of my running was in like the early evening. So it'd be dark, but like you're just running around. I live in a pretty quiet neighborhood of Mission. So it's all sidewalks, it's nice wide shoulders, it's super safe spots to run. And there's like it, your mind kind of wanders because I don't like to run listening to music. I just like to, like, I don't like listening to music when I run. I just want to be quiet. And there's like Christmas lights out, and it's pretty quiet, you know, there's not a lot of vehicles driving around. So I actually did enjoy training for the marathon. And as far as like I did a lot of, I guess you'd call them intervals. Is that what you'd call them? Like Probably like run 5 kilometers, walk 500 meters, and then run another 5 kilometers, and then that was my training for the day.
Yeah.
So like those were like the interview, sorry, the intervals I was trying to do, and then I would just up the kilometers, and then like still do my breaks, but I'd up the kilometers, up to 6, walk 1, and then run 6, and I'm done for the day. And then like I only ever got up to, I think it was like 35 kilometers was my longest run, but that included 2 walking breaks. So like I was just kind of going with it and seeing how my body felt, and it turned out okay. Like my goal on race day, like I set a little bit too high of a goal. It was, I think it was to run like 630 kilometers, but I ended up doing, I believe it was 7-minute kilometers, which put me right at the 5-hour mark to complete the 42.2. So
5 hours with, or that amount of time with 45 pounds on your back is, or on your whole body, is pretty impressive. And that is a very short time that you trained for that marathon. So what about like nutrition or blisters or anything like that? Were there any wild cards that came up that you just didn't expect to happen?
So as I talked about not wearing gear, or sorry, not wearing any weight when I was training. So the day of the race, it was so short into the run. It honestly, it was probably 3 kilometers in,
Oh no.
and so like I've had some knee injuries on my right knee, and like whenever I lift weights, I guess I just kind of compensate and put more weight on my left side. So like if you were to like measure my left calf compared to my right one, like my left one's quite a bit larger. And I don't know if like when I'm running that I compensate the same way, like maybe I push harder on my left leg than I do my right. But about 3 kilometers in, my left calf just swelled right up, and it got so tight and it got so sore. And I was running with my friend Nick, and I was like, man, like something's going on with my left leg. Like it's starting to get pretty painful. And then like 500 meters later, it's like, man, like my leg's like really, really sore. Like I think I might have to start walking. And then I was able to like slow down a little bit, but keep jogging. And then I don't know what it is. Like eventually it just dulled and the pain slowly went away. And then it was fine for the rest of the, like 38 kilometers, whatever I had to do afterwards. But that was the biggest thing. And I was extremely worried for that. Like, it was probably 7 or 8 minutes that I was in pain in my left leg. And then other than that, like, my neck got quite sore from wearing the helmet, and then the straps kind of pulling on my shoulders. So the left calf and my neck were definitely, the most sore. And then the day after, my lower back was pretty scarred up too, because the pack was shifting on my lower back. It was
Oh
shifting
yeah.
right and left as I was running. So my lower back was pretty sore from carrying the weight, but also from the weight kind of scraping as well.
The
So
chafing, yeah, and that kind of
yeah.
pain I find is worse than like being sore or tired. One
Yeah,
thing,
because yeah, it lasts a while too, for sure.
yeah, get your wife before you go to, it's gonna sound weird, but it really works. Wherever your pack, because I know you're running again in about a week, rubs you, put diaper cream on your body. And I promise you will come out unscathed.
I'll have to take your advice on that 100%, because I don't want that to happen again.
No, it's the worst. And it's amazing because it's meant to withstand moisture, obviously, right? And we get it in ultra running because you're out there for so long with just any pack and then you sweat salt and the whole thing. And it looks like you're mauled by a bear. But this, yeah, it's a common problem. So that's a great solution.
Okay, awesome. I'll take you up on that.
So, I mean, yeah, especially in the beginning when you have something like that going on, did you have mental doubts then? Like, oh my God, what if I can't actually do this and people have donated all this money?
Yeah, that definitely crossed my mind. I was like, oh no, my name's gonna be dragged through the mud. But the guy I was running with, he's a good friend of mine. He's like a super chatty dude, like a little bit too chatty sometimes, but like he was I didn't talk much. I just kind of listened because I was frustrated and I just wanted to focus on running. But he was able to set me straight. Like it's to kind of like motivate me. Like I'm not a big pep talk guy, but like it's borderline kind of just like little insults. Like you can insult me a little bit, and then like that'll give me a little bit of motivation to continue. So, and that's what he was able to do. So,
Was his name Killer?
no, I actually work with Killer this year. No, this is Mirstra. So,
Oh, okay. I'm like, who's too chatty and would bounce along beside you?
yeah, that would be Killer as well, for sure, for sure.
Okay, so I know some of your story too is that, like, the irony of the whole thing is that you end up with some heart issues. Can we talk about how that was like introduced to your life, what your first symptoms was, and get into that whole story?
Yeah, so after the what would that have been 2022's marathon, I was like, okay, great, we're gonna snowball, we're gonna do really well, and we're gonna beat that 25 grand mark from last year. So I had just started setting up all my emails and everything, and this was in October, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna start getting more kilometers going here for my training. And I remember the first time I had like chest pain or like symptoms. It was I had like I still lift weights, so like I had done like a little bit of a chest workout, and then the following day I was going to go for a run, just like a jog, a light jog. And 2 kilometers in, like I got chest pain kind of like in both shoulders. And I was like, okay, well, I did a lot of pressing yesterday, like a lot of pushing. So, and it was kind of like right where your shoulders meet your chest, kind of like, you know, the classic bench press soreness area, right? So that's kind of what I thought it was just my chest was sore from a workout. And then I went home and did a little Peloton workout, and my heart rate was up, you know, in the 150s and 60s, and everything was fine. Okay, great, awesome. And then this was happening for a couple of weeks where I'd get into a new workout and I'd kind of feel like fatigued or tired. Like I remember tracking my kilometers, and I was running like 6 minute kilometers, and I had no, like, I just didn't have any push. Like I was like, man, like I'm fatigued. Like I need to get moving here. I'm so slow. And I'm like, well, we have 3 kids, and like I was working at a really busy hall that year, and I was like, maybe I'm just tired, right? Like excuses, right? Like something's not wrong with me. It's just the way it is right now. So I keep trying to push through this, and my output is just dropping, and I'm getting more tired. And then the chest pain, it's starting to happen like periodically throughout the day. So it would always happen in the morning where it felt like heartburn. So I'd stop drinking coffee. I just start eating Tums, like go to the London Drugs and buy Tums, and you're just eating them like Skittles. You're like, fuck, this heartburn just won't go away. And then what happened at work, like when we get a call and you get like any sort of instant like heart rate would just elevate, that would cause me pain. So it was exercising, calls at work, and then like you get a little bit upset with your kids and then your heart rate gets up, like that would give me chest pain as well. So this was going on, this is probably 4 weeks now, so a month. It's pretty stupid. I like looking back, I understand that's silly of me. And then I was getting really frustrated because I couldn't exercise and I wanted to do this marathon, but I was in pain. Now it was pain from going on like a 2 minute walk. So I was really upset one day, and I'm like, Kate, well, I'm 30. I was 36 at the time. I'm 36 years old. I can run a marathon, you know, like I'm fit. Like I could have this athletic background and this fitness background. Like I should be able to move. So I went for a run, and I decided that I was just going to see how long I could go because I should just kick this chest pain. I should get rid of it. So I was running, and sure enough, it comes on like a minute and a half into the run. And it's like a 5 out of 10 pain, like right away, 5 out of 10. I'm like, okay, well, it's going to dull down just the way that my calf dulled down. Like it's going to be fine. And it goes up to a 6, 7, 8. I try to keep running, and then it's like a 9, 10 out of 10 pain. And on the side of the road, I didn't know what was happening because obviously I've never had this kind of pain before, and I didn't know what it was. I thought that like heart attack or chest pain couldn't happen to me. And then I thought I was gonna like pass out on the side of the road. So I just kind of hands on the knees, bent over, like tried to collect myself. And then as my heart rate went down, like the chest pain kind of went away. So I was still in a lot of pain. And I walked home and I told Kelsey, my wife, and I was like, hey, this has been going on for 5, 6 weeks now. And I think something's wrong with me. Because as you would know, and as anybody that would know that, you know, like uses their body, like you know when something's not working correctly, right? Like that was so stupid of me not to go to the hospital for the previous 6 weeks. But like I knew something was wrong because things weren't adding up. Because everything I've done with my body, like I know I should be able to go for a simple run. So anyways, I go to the hospital and they do some tests, and I'm there for about 3 hours, just like your standard chest X-ray, ECG, and blood work. And they're like, oh, you're fine, Reid. I was like, man, like I don't want to argue with you or anything, but like I'm not fine. Like something's wrong with me. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to book you in for a stress test next week. Just take it easy for a week. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll take it easy for a week. And then the following week, I go for my stress test. And like, I'm a little bit upset with the whole like process because, you know, like, I don't know what you're like, but when you can't like exercise some and you just, it just builds up a little bit of, I don't know what the word is, like anger or whatever, but sometimes you're not the happiest person to like be around.
You could ask
So I'm a
Harry
little bit of,
to be around
yeah,
when I'm not
I'm
exercising.
sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Hillary, you need to go for a run. Like I'll see you in an hour. But yeah, so I go for the stress test and I'm like, dude, I can already tell you what's gonna happen. I'm gonna walk for a minute, I'm gonna get chest pain. So they put me on like all the leads and then I'm go for a walk on the treadmill. And sure enough, like 1 minute in, I tell the doctor, I was like, okay, I have a like 5 out of 10 pain. And I was like, I can keep going if you like, but like it's gonna turn into 6 and 7 and 8 pretty quick. And they're like, okay, keep going. So I continue. And then sure enough, I'm like, okay, it's like a 6 and 7. It's getting a lot worse. And then he told me to stop. And then, you know, like sometimes doctors don't have the best like poker faces, right? So he goes in the other room with the nurse and they come back out and they're like, yeah, we're not like super happy with how things look. You just need to go home and rest until further notice. Dang, okay. So I just leave the hospital, drive home. And then the following day, Kelsey leaves for work and then I have the kids at home and I get this phone call from Fraser Health and they're just like, hey, I talked to our colleagues and you need to come to the emergency room right now. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, my kids are all with me and they're like, no, okay, well, you need to call grandma or grandpa or babysitter. Like, you need to come to the hospital right now. So that's what I did, go to the hospital right there. Sorry, this is kind of a long story, but I just go to the hospital right there. And they just pump me full of like blood thinners and everything, but like nobody knows what's going on. I guess I failed the stress test like miserably. And then so like 4 days later, I go over to New West for angiogram. And so that's when they put that ink in your blood, and then they can watch it through like X-ray, I guess, so they can see all your coronary arteries. And you're watching it up on the screen, like on the screen, sorry. So like you're awake when this is all happening. And like you're looking up at the screen and you can see all the blood flowing through your heart. And just to describe it, like it looks like a big river and then it just tapers right down super thin, like a tiny little stream, and then it opens right back up again. So what I had was, and what was causing all this pain is that I had a 90% blockage in the left anterior descending artery, which is called like the Widowmaker. So I didn't know any of this obviously, but so outside of the hospital, like when I went for that final run to try to just be an idiot and try to like tough it out or whatever you call it. So you have a tw 12% survival rate if you have a like this type of a heart attack outside of the hospital. So I'm super, super fortunate that that didn't happen when I was exercising for the previous 6 weeks. And then they put in a stent, and after they put in the stent, you can see it instantly. Like it just looks like normal, like the blood flow is all good. So from exercise, there's something called collateral circulation, and like you should, everybody should look it up because I'm probably butchering all these definitions, but like, yeah, through exercise you'll get collateral circulation, which is the way like your body can push around blood differently in your heart if you are like a fit person. So like I'm sure you have a lot of collateral circulation if you do get a blockage. So because this blockage was growing over time, my heart was it was running adequate enough with the collateral circulation, but as it got up to the 90%, like it couldn't divert blood anywhere else. Like it was just too backed up. And then that's what was causing obviously all the chest pain was not enough blood flow. So
Holy smokes. I mean, that's wild. And with this type of thing, do you think if you weren't training for something that it would go with some people like unnoticed for longer?
that's what I like to believe. Because all my lab work, like you look at all my blood work, like the LDL, the HDL, and everything, like doctors tell me that like nothing was alarming from my lab work. It's and I the day before that I had any chest pains, like if I walked, this is what the doctor said to me, like the day before I had any chest pains, if I walked in for a physical, did a stress test, had no chest pain, had the numbers that I have in my blood work, like I'm a healthy man, everything's all good.
Wow.
But so like I like to believe that if you don't, it's kind of what I said earlier, like when you put your body through challenging things, you kind of learn how it works, and you get to understand how it feels to be kind of uncomfortable. And through that process, you just get a better understanding of your body and how it works. So you're gonna have, like, you're gonna know sooner when something's not working correctly, right? Like, it's just kind of like you get to know it like the back of your hand type thing. You're like, something's doesn't feel right. And that's what I like to believe. And it was telling me that something wasn't working right. And I just wasn't listening to it because I didn't think anything like that could happen to me. So
Well, and so I understand why you wouldn't think that, because when you think blockage, you think guy that eats McDonald's every day, smokes, and doesn't run
yeah,
ever.
you no, yeah, like 100%. And then even when I was in the hospital, like that's what like the doctors were like, what are you doing here? You're kind of in the wrong wing. Like this is the, you know, like this is the heart disease wing. Like what are you doing here? So
So how does it happen to somebody like you?
There's, I guess there's not something that they test in your standard blood work, which is bizarre. It's weird. But there's something called your lipoprotein A, like LP little A, and this is a genetic thing. My brother doesn't have it, so that's good. So we're gonna have to test our kids if they have it. And this is only a, like you only have to test it once in your life. I think
Okay.
after the age of 12, I believe, is when you test for it. But it's I'm gonna butcher this again too, like the LP little A. Like I believe it attaches onto your LDL and it causes a lot of plaque buildup, and it can also cause calcification in your valves as well of your heart. So now that they want me on statins to lower my cholesterol levels, like not that they were at an alarming level, but it's super important if you have a high LP little A that you lower the LDL as like as low as possible. So that's where we're sitting at right now. And then that brings you to the statins, like, which is probably, I think it's like the most prescribed drug in the world, or one of the highest prescribed drugs in the world. But there's a lot of side effects with those, right? Like it's typically, as we kind of mentioned earlier, like heart disease is kind of for people in their 60s and 70s, maybe like a little bit later on in life, when we're, you know, they're not coaching kids or raising three kids or trying to be as active as possible. So a lot of the side effects of those, unfortunately, is like muscle pain, muscle fatigue, and just feeling like crap, honestly. And so for the past, so what was it? It was just over a year. Like they were trying to balance all these statin medications with me, and the symptoms that I was getting, they were just brutal. Like I remember I was riding bikes with my kid one day, and we short little bike ride, and I hopped off the bike, and it felt like I had like a couple like herniated discs in my lower back. Like I couldn't stand upright, like you know that classic hunched over walk when you have a lower back pain type thing. And I'm like, oh, is this just from like laying in a hospital bed like for the last 5 days? Like, what is wrong with me now? And then I call the doctor and like, oh no, that's like a common side effect of statins. And so like your CK levels in your blood, like they just get up through the roof, and you don't have any recover, like your recovery is extremely poor from exercise, and your output is also, for me anyways, was extremely poor. So the past year has been like not the greatest time for me trying to figure out all these new medications. So fortunately, as of November, I'm on a new drug called Ramipril, and it's a more expensive drug, but it's all covered through our extended health, fortunately. So I'm not having any of the side effects which I had previously. So that's why I'm able to do the marathon this year. But in saying that, I'm starting from rock bottom fitness wise, because like I was extremely, like I was really struggling to get any exercise in for the past 10 months or so on the statin medications.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the part that is kind of scary as well. What was the process or the feelings when you were like, okay, I think I'm ready to train for a marathon again, knowing what happened last time? Like, did the doctors give you a go ahead when you got the stint and you were feeling healthy again? And like, how did your wife feel about it?
I had my last appointment with the specialist in October, I believe it was. And I asked him, I was like, do I have the green light to do this? And he said, yes. The best way I can explain it, like I'm sure you've played a lot of sports before. I'm sure you've had like some sort of like a soft tissue injury in your career, like whether it be hamstring or quad or whatever. So you pull your hamstring and you leave the game. And then you hit physio for a couple of weeks and you do your practices, right? And you're feeling like, okay, I'm feeling fit. But like you haven't done like any game speed yet. It's been all practice, it's been controlled scrimmages. So like it's just different when you go game speed, right? And in the back of your head, you're like, okay, I've done everything doctors have told me. I feel okay. But what's gonna happen like when there's a loose ball and I try to push off my leg 100%? Is it gonna, am I gonna pull my hamstring again? Like, what's gonna happen? So that's obviously in your head when you have a soft tissue injury. And then that's like, that is in the back of my head too. But I've done my longer runs and I've done a lot of, like we call them 90, 60, 30s at work. It's kind of like my staple workout to let me know how fit I am, where you do like four sets of 90-second sprints with 90 second rest, and then four sets of 60 second sprints, and then so on down to 30. And my numbers on that are basically just as good as they've ever been.
At the 10%
And
incline.
my, yeah, with 10% incline, and then you like you're like, I think I start at 7.5 miles an hour for the 90s, and then 8 for the 60s, and then try to get up to 10 for the 30 seconds, but you always just see how you feel that day. But yeah, they're pretty popular in Delta Fire. And like my numbers are pretty good. Well, they're as good as they've kind of ever been on that. And my training has been going good. And honestly, that's all you can really hope for. And that's all you can really judge things off of. So I don't have a reason to be worried about that. Like, but I guess it is in the back of my head a little bit. But everything's been going great so far. So there's no reason to dwell on that.
No, you can't live in a bubble, totally. It's just like pulling a
Yeah.
hamstring is one thing, having a heart attack another. So I can
Yeah.
see how there's like a transition anyways into feeling totally ready to go again.
Yeah.
So do you feel now like this fundraiser is going to be something that you're obviously like so up close and personal with now and trying to spread the message of, listening to your body and donating to research and trying to find ways that we can find this earlier for people and like something you're just going to continue long term now.
I would like to continue it. The goal was always to try to get like 100,000 and then maybe like tap out or someone else can like take over type thing. Like there's just like seeing like my wife is a teacher, so like just hearing kind of like what kids bring to school sometimes, like like not bringing a healthy lunch or not even bringing a lunch. Like you just hate hearing about that stuff, like especially kids, right? Like that stuff really bothers me. And then everybody can relate who's a parent that they want to support our BC Children's Hospital. So as I would like to do some sort of a fundraiser, like for kids that need a little bit of help, whether it is like a because Delta Fire does like a healthy snack program too, where we give all the, well, not all of, but we give a lot of like we donate a lot of food to elementary schools in Delta so that kids that can't go, sorry, that kids that go to school without a lunch, which is like brutal. That's so bad for kids. They can at least go to school and get some food in their stomach, right? So whether it's going to be for Children's Hospital or some sort of like a snack program for kids, it's something that I would like to keep up and running. But I think the end goal, like I'm not gonna say sit here and tell you that I enjoy running because like I don't really enjoy running. Like I like certain like aspects of it, right? Like I said, like in December when you're running and like Christmas lights are out or whatever, like it is a nice evening to go for a run type thing. But training for the marathon, like it is tough. It's really, really tough. I think the end goal for me would be to like maybe contact like the BC Lions, because it all kind of started from football, right? So like hopefully maybe in 2 years or so, like the last year when I do it, I can talk, sorry, I can contact the Lions and be like, hey, like I've done this for the previous 7 years. We've raised, it'll probably be close to $80,000 at that time. You think it'd be cool if like we get a bunch of firefighters from the Lower Mainland and just do like in gear, like do a sprint, like 110-yard sprint down a CFL field and try to raise some money for like Children's Hospital or like a children's snack program. And then if they say yes, I think I'd like to tie the bow and wrap it up that way.
Oh, that's really cool. That's, yeah, I love that. We did one, a fundraiser for kids sport. I don't know if Andy ever told you of that, but we only did it the 1 year and I ran from Vancouver to Pemberton on the Sea to Sky. So it's about 100 miles. And
I thought it was Whistler. You went to Pemberton.
yeah, I should have stopped in Whistler, but we just kept going.
Jeez. Wow, that's unbelievable.
And it was cool. I think we ended up with like $12,000 or something, but my point is that the effort it takes to do that fundraising and how much you've done, like it's like a full-time job. It's like, never mind the training for the actual run, the getting the word out there and making the links and spreading that all. I mean, I hope you just really appreciate how much effort that is for yourself and like you've had such a huge impact already that that's pretty amazing.
No, I appreciate that. We did do a pub night one time, and that was actually a really success. Sorry, like a really successful year. But the pub nights, like, they're a lot of work. Like, there's so much organizing. And then now we're just doing like a, well, I shouldn't say just like now we're like we are doing an online silent auction, which I think is going okay. And then we have like a monetary donation set up all through the hospital, so people get tax receipts. And like I think we're doing okay this way, but yeah, in the future, I think wrapping it up with the Lions would be a pretty
Really
special way
cool.
to do it. And I think a lot of guys and gals from the department would join up as well, so that would make it a lot easier for me because I definitely wouldn't want to be the only one out there.
No, and you could do a 50-50 and you could be like horses and bet on who's gonna win. Like you can make quite the event out of it.
There's a lot of competitive people out there, so that would be some pretty
Totally.
fun bets and handicaps going out too.
So I want to talk about your sponsor and give you a chance to plug all your links and everything. But my last question before we do that is there no part of you that's a little bit curious about how fast you could run a marathon full speed in actual running apparel?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah, for sure. Especially because like we have, like I said earlier, like we have a lot of fit people at Delta Fire that would like blow the doors off of me in like a competitive marathon race. So I've only ever done like the longest run I've done timed is a 10K. And that's the thing that I do enjoy about running, like I guess it's the same as like lifting weights is like you're going to see the weights go up the more you press or the more you pull,
Totally.
how often you do it, like the weights are going to go up. And then when I first started running, like a big milestone was like that sub 60 minute 10K, right? Like you hit that, like everybody has their goals when they start, right? Like wherever you're starting, running doesn't get like easier, you kind of just get faster, right? So and you get out and you run more, you hit that 60 minute 10K, and then you're like, hey, well, I got to hit like these 5 minute kilometers. And you try to hit the 5 minute kilometers, you know, you get that 50 minute 10K. And then the 4.5, I'm just under 4.5 kilometers for my 10Ks right now. So like just under 45 minutes. So like I'm not like a fast runner by any means. Like I don't know roughly what a person that runs like a 44 minute ish 10K, what that would translate into a marathon, but I know it would be faster than 5 hours. So yeah, like
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure where I would be with that, but it's interesting for sure.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe one day. Yeah.
Okay, well, this story is amazing. I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to chat, and thank you again for offering to share. I know that you got teamed up with a corporate sponsor. Am I pronouncing this right? UFOs?
Yeah, you are saying it correct. I had a little trouble with it as well, but I met with the lady. She's in Richmond actually, so I met with her last week, and they are a Canadian comp sorry, UFOs is an American company, but she's like the distributor for Canada, and it's a warehouse in Richmond, and they make like you should check it out. Like it might be right up your alley, you and Andy. They make like recovery footwear. So like I got a pair of slides from them, and I don't know about you, but like when I am on the road a lot, like I don't get like plantar fasciitis or like whatever that's called, but like I do get sore feet, and like if you're standing around the kitchen like making dinner, doing dishes and stuff, like my feet do ache 100%. And these slides, like these UFO slides, like you just slip right into them, and they got like a little bit of an arch support, but they're also super soft, so like you get that stable feeling for the arch support, but then in turn they're super soft on your heels and your toes. So yeah, they feel great to walk around in. Yeah.
Yeah, they look great. I poked around on the website a bit, so I'll link to that in the show notes as well. And then just as far as links and donating and all of that stuff, is there a place you can direct people? And I will get the links from you after and make sure they're all in the show notes as well.
Yeah, so Link-wise, it's 32 auctions. That is the website where we have the like the online auction that closes in a couple days. And then for monetary donations, I have a website set up through the Children's Hospital, which I'll be able to fire you a link to
And will that
after we
stay
kind of
open for a little
end the
bit longer?
convo. Yeah, that'll stay open. What is that? The night I'm doing the run on the 19th, which I believe is a Tuesday. So it's going to stay open for a couple of days after that, probably like the 21st. So it'll be like 2 or 3 days until I complete. After I complete the run, and then we'll cut it off there. Then we'll do the check presentation and put a little video together, and we'll fire that up online as well.
Okay. Well, if this episode comes out after that, I'll still link directly to Children's Hospital, and I know people can donate there. Or if this story inspires you, donate to your local place. Or I actually know female firefighter listeners that I chat with quite often, so maybe they can start doing this type of thing in their own neighborhood, just like originally how they said, start local and see what we can spread around.
That was kind of the goal of it. Like, whatever province you're in or territory you're in, like, you might not be able to do a marathon like outside right now. Depends where you live in Canada. But, like, yeah, if you're a first responder in Canada, maybe hold off till you get a little bit of better weather in your area. But, like, think about doing something, maybe not like this, but like, do a 5K or a 10K or even do a marathon, whatever, right? Like, it's gonna be a lot of work, but it's very rewarding. Like that's, and it's also it's an important part of our job as well. Like I do think that's part of our job is to do off duty, charitable work.
Yeah, that's totally true. Well, thank you again and congrats. And yeah, I'm gonna follow along and I hope that you get reasonable weather on the 19th. I actually just looked, it's supposed to get up to like 20 degrees. I don't
Yeah,
think
I'm gonna start
I
early. I'm thinking
will,
like
but
5, 6 a.m. Yeah, it's gonna be hot.
well, yeah, good luck. Don't forget to stay hydrated and eat some snacks on your run. That will make the whole thing better. And thank you again so much for your time.
All right, appreciate it. And we'll see you soon, hopefully. And yeah, thanks for your time.